Are you thirsty? Come and drink deeply. Are you hungry? Come and be fed. Come, my friends, and join the feast hosted by the living God. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about things happening in this community and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning, nursery. We have the playground down front, and we have godly play and connect after the word for all ages this morning. This is the first Sunday of the month, which means we are celebrating communion together. Folks at home, I invite you to get a bit of food and drink to join in. In person, we have gluten-free bread along with grape juice and wine. Folks will be invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. You're invited to participate in whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. Beth is going to come up and share some thoughts from our Ministry of Music Transition team.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Beth Canterbury, and I'm here representing the Music Ministry Transition team. First, thanks to everyone who celebrated Tom Foster last Sunday. It's sad to lose a wonderful staff member like Tom, but it also gives us an opportunity to think about where we want to go next. We've assembled a music ministry transition team made up of Sarah Hanna, Mark Dixon, Taylor Purvis, and Sarah Lynn Keller. I'm coordinating the team with help from Reverend Cindy. At this point, the team has created a job description for an interim and is in conversation with several candidates. We're talking about priorities and opportunities, and we'll be sharing more with you in the weeks and months ahead. The team is hoping to offer a variety of musical experiences during this transition. Right now, I'll tell you about this month. Today, we welcome music director Elaine Smith Purcell, who's on the faculty at Walnut Hill. Welcome, Elaine. Next Sunday, we'll have worship music provided by Harmony Grove, the jazz ensemble led by Willie Cerdillo. If you've been here for more than 5 years, you may remember Harmony Grove. It will be great to have them with us again. On February 16th, we're still in planning, talking to a couple people about coming in. And on February 23rd, our worship music will feature Connected the Musical by Catherine Denny. If you'd like to support the music at FCCN during this transition time, we would love your help welcoming guest musicians, connecting us with local candidates, and managing organization and routine tasks. Please see me or Reverend Cindy for more info on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. We have our annual meeting this morning after worship today. It begins at noon in the vestry. Those of you who might be participating from home online, a special link email will go out with a reminder about that Zoom link. And folks on site will get to have lunch together, put on by Chef Bob, and lots of help, which is a fundraiser for our youth programming. So we'll start with lunch, and then at noon, we'll begin with the annual meeting. Sadly, moderator Lane is sick today, so sorry you're not feeling well, Lane. Huge gratitude to vice moderator Sarah Hanna for stepping up. This Wednesday, the local organization Natick is United is inviting folks for a community gathering. It's actually going to be held at FCC Natick, not at 5, what it says on the slide, at 7, this Wednesday at 7. Those of you who might be tracking pub theology, that's been pushed out a week, so all are invited to come to this conversation that Natick is United is holding. It happens to be at FCCN, but by Natick is United, Wednesday at 7.
So without Lane being here, I'm the one who has to talk about the Super Bowl this morning. If you're not familiar with the Super Bowl at FCC Natick, this is a fundraiser that this year is going to A Place to Turn. It is a friendly competition, no matter what Lane thinks. How we divide up the competition is the Penguins are south of Route 135, the Polar Bears are north of Route 135, and people go online to buy donations to A Place to Turn, and we are now heading into the fourth quarter. I think that's the last one. So heading into the last quarter of the Super Bowl, that means next Sunday we're wrapping up. And you should know that right now the Penguins have 323 creeping up on the Polar Bears, who are at 411. So again, don't pay attention to the numbers on the slide. Penguins are at 323, Polar Bears are at 411. Doug raised his hand. Doug has called an audible, that's a football thing, has to say that he has it on good authority that the Penguins have taken the lead. Even better news, I have it on good authority that we are on track to make more than we did last year for this fundraiser. That is worth celebrating indeed. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Chances are you've had a hectic week. Maybe work was busy, family demanding, or you tried to keep up with the news until you couldn't catch a deep breath. So we're going to slow it all down. The powers that be want us anxious and on edge. A culture of consumption wants us driven to distraction. Overwhelm is the goal. So let's spend a revolutionary hour together, being present, breathing deeply, letting go. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Today, the light sets before us a feast of love and abundance. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Sharon. Nice to see you all. Please join me in the call to worship, and your response is God calls us back to love. When we forget who we are, God calls us back to love. When we forget why we're here, God calls us back to love. When we forget what we're doing, God calls us back to love. Right here and right now, God calls us back to love. Our opening hymn is 314, As We Gather at Your Table, and you're invited to rise in body or spirit as you are able. Thank you. Please be seated. Our centering prayer this morning is based on Psalm 46, verse 10, and we begin with a bit of silence, just settling in, if you'd like to close your eyes for a moment, and just being here together, noticing your breath, maybe, knowing that we can sit in the quiet together. And let us pray. Beloved God, God calls to us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. May we answer with our lives. Amen. And in a world so full of conflict, it is healing for us to come together in this room and online, creating true sanctuary. We reveal our hopes for peace, our need for peace, as we proclaim God's peace to each other. And that peace crosses boundaries of time and space, which means we can avoid germs with a bow or a wave. We'd like to include the folks at home as well. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, a new selection for the month of February. God's peace be with you.
Each week we include a scripture reading in worship. Many times the selection is from the lectionary. That's a three-year cycle of passages that churches in many different traditions follow. Each week the lectionary gives us at least four selections: the Hebrew scripture or Old Testament, Psalms, more in a moment on that, the gospel reading, stories about Jesus' life and teaching, and the epistle, letters to the early church. This week we're focusing on the psalm selection in the lectionary for this week. The psalms are ancient poetry written by numerous authors. They express the range of human emotion: joy, pain, fear, anger, despair, doubt, and they bring it all to God. The psalms remind us that God cares about every part of our human journey. This morning we'll hear part of Psalm 71. The author of this psalm is going through a hard time and they were calling on God to help them. Maybe the psalmist can speak for us as well. The version we'll hear this morning is by Nancy Merrill. Thanks, Sharon.
Hear these words from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. In you, O my beloved, do I take refuge. Never let me feel separated from you. In your compassion, come and refresh me. Listen to my cry, answer my plea. Be to me a rock, a tower of strength, a strong arm to uphold me as I abandon myself into your hands. Be a very presence to me as fear grips me in the face of justice and cruelty, or in the face of injustice and cruelty, perhaps. For you, O friend, are my hope, my strength, since I was but a child. Upon you I have trusted from my birth, you whom I knew before my mother's womb. I continually sing praises to you. These are our sacred songs. May we sing them with our lives.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So listen. Sometimes life is hard. Amen? Friends move away. People get sick. Plans don't work out. We get frustrated, sad, angry. Sometimes I wish I had a magic wand. I could just make all that go away. I would like to protect you from every hard thing, but I know I can't. Part of being human means things will hurt sometimes. But even if we can't make all the hard things go away, we can be a place and a people where you can get help when things are hard. Sometimes out in the world, people want us to keep a smile on our faces even when we're sad. Or we might feel like we can't be honest because of how people will react. Well, this is a place where we don't have to fake it. Amen. When we're in pain, we can name it. When we're happy, we can share it with others. If we're sad, it is okay to cry here. If we're mad, we can tell each other. This is a place where we can bring our fears, our hopes, and our dreams. But what about when we're not here? What about when we're at home or at school or at work? Then what do we do with all those feelings? Well, first of all, you can call me. But if I'm in a meeting, which happens a lot, God is always available. And God always wants to know what's going on with you. There is nothing you can't share with God. In the psalm that Ms. Sharon read, the writer said, "Hey, God, you better show up." They said, "There's some tough stuff happening in my life, and you better listen to me." They said, "There are bad things happening in the world, and I need you to hold me, stay close to me, make me strong." we can say all this to God too. I don't know what waits for you in the week ahead, but I do know that God will be there for you. So you go ahead and you tell God everything that's on your mind. And maybe, just maybe, that will help when life is hard. But remember, you can call me too. Let's send our kids off to Sunday school with a blessing. Living God, you better stay close to these kids. They are glimpses of you in the world, and they need your presence and support. In fact, stay close to all of us and surround us with your love. Amen. Have a good day in Sunday school. In World War II, as bombs fell, thousands of children were orphaned and starving. The stories told that many children were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. They were safe. But the staff noticed that the children couldn't sleep. They would lie awake at night, worried that in the morning they'd find themselves once again homeless and hungry. Finally, the staff tried something new. They gave each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. And it worked. The children slept. Holding tomorrow's daily bread in their own hands, they could finally let themselves sleep. And so in the same way that other kids slept with teddy bears and blankets, those children slept with bread all night long, holding on to it throughout the night. It's surprising to me that the pieces of bread worked. After all, these kids weren't just hungry. They lost their homes, their families, everything. No solitary crust of bread could make up for that. But somehow it was enough, just enough, to get the kids through the night. I don't know about you, but I am not sleeping so well these nights myself. Got any amens there? My brain gets on this exhausting loop. Here's what mine looks like. I start with whichever of my kids I'm most worried about. Then I go to the kids who are afraid to go to school in case immigration and customs enforcement shows up, followed by the kids who have had their trans-affirming medical care canceled, on to the grown-ups losing their jobs because they worked in parts of the government that help people, which gets me thinking about all of you and the stress and strain that you are carrying, not just because you care about your neighbors, but also because you're caring for your parents with dementia, and your brother is struggling with addiction, and you're worried about that lump. So then I'm lying awake thinking that you're probably lying awake, and now I'm trying to figure out how I could possibly help you so you could get some sleep, and apparently my answer is, here, take this bread. Like the children in the refugee camp, it really seems like we need to sleep with more than bread. Maybe something more like, you know, when kids fill their beds with so many stuffed animals that they can barely fit in themselves. In one hand, we'll hold bread, and in the other hand, we'll hold water that we're worried about is going to be poisoned as the earth suffers. By our head, we'll rest with medications that we're really hoping will stop the disease. At our back will be the copy of the IEP we worked so hard for, and at our feet will be the seedlings we've started as a sign of commitment to the future. Over it all, a prayer shawl, like a signal flag for God to know that they're needed here. But all I have for you here is bread. And not even a whole loaf or a slice. In a few minutes, what I'm going to give you, it's just a bite. If you, like me, tend to eat your feelings, this is not going to cut it. But this is what I have for you. Bread. It doesn't seem like enough now, and it probably didn't seem like enough 2,000 years ago. Jesus sitting at a table with his friends, knowing everything was falling apart, searching furiously for what would help and finding only bread. But in the hands of a teacher like Jesus, fish is never just fish, rocks are never just rocks, and bread is never just bread. Jesus had no way of knowing that at that point, the thing we call bread had already existed for over 10,000 years. He just knew it had always been there, on every table, and would still be there after he was gone. So he showed them the bread and made sure that when they saw it again, they would remember him and his love. Maybe that's what happened with the children in the refugee camps, too. Adults handed them slices of coarse bread, just enough to keep them from starving. But in the children's fists, the bread became the breakfast toast daily buttered by loving hands, the cookies made by grandma's side, the favorite cake from every celebration. Maybe sometimes bread can be more than just bread. If that's so, then may that happen here and now. May the bread before us on this table or whatever you're using for bread at home be more than bread today. Maybe this bread can be community. Remember all those sourdough starters from COVID connecting us with the building blocks of bread when we couldn't touch each other? Maybe this bread can be diversity, all the ways humans have found to make bread depending on time and place and circumstance and creativity. Maybe this bread can be strength, just enough, just barely enough to get us through 1 hour at a time. Maybe this bread can be God, the presence that knits us together like the ingredients are knit in the loaf. It still looks like bread is all I have for you today. Still just a bite, not a loaf or even a slice. But when we take this bread and bless it, when we break this bread and share it, when we eat this bread and let it change us, it is so much more than bread. It is the same spirit that gave life to a desperate community 2,000 years ago. It's the same hope that got desperate children through long, hard nights. It's the same God of love we need, that the world needs more than ever. So here, take this bread. And maybe tonight we will sleep. Amen.
Thank you. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. Folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to find some food and drink to join in. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So as we prepare to come to the table, first we begin by sharing our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Sharon. Sharon is lifting up the joy of living in Massachusetts and feeling it is a good state. Thanks, Sharon. Jeanette. Lorraine's back. Our beloved Lorraine, after spending way too much time in the hospital, is back in our midst this morning and just full of her beautiful spirit. Thanks, Lorraine. Paul? So Paul is my spouse. Our youngest is in Valencia. He is Spain. He is having the time of his life. We are deeply jealous. He promised he's going to tell us stories later today. We are looking forward to that. Thanks, Paul. Doug, was that your hand?
Yeah,
100%. Doug is reminding us all that the real sermon does not happen on the dais. It happens in the pitter-patter of little feet around this sanctuary, as well as the joyous cries of Miss Lily between Lily and Zoe. We got it going on. Dee Dee. Dee Dee is lifting up the serendipity of a symbolic meal together in the sanctuary, followed by a full meal in the vestry afterward. Eating together brings life. Carolyn. To borrow from posts on Blue Sky, happy Black history, Black present, Black future, Black love, Black joy, Black health, Black healing, Black people, Black community, Black family, Black kids, Black culture, Black creativity, Black ingenuity, Black legacy, Black innovation, Black liberation, Black resistance, Black existence month. Yeah. Lorraine. Lorraine is anticipating lucky 13 great-grandchildren, and we celebrate with you, Lorraine. Gail, do you have any joys up there? Okay. What concern? Steve. Steve is lifting up the joy of finally being able to see family after a month and a half of being sick. We've seen there's so much stuff going around, and especially for families with kids in school systems and things like that, it's just going around and around and around. So I'm so glad you had that family time. Declan? This is a concern.
Thank you.
are holding Declan in prayer this Wednesday. Declan is going for a CT scan, and first of all, Declan shouldn't even know what a CT scan is, so that's our first prayer. But we will be surrounding Declan with our love and prayer on Wednesday as he has to put on that mask, go in that machine, and we believe that the strength of God will be around Declan, helping him do this very hard thing. And we believe God will also be with his mom and dad and the doctors, helping them do this hard thing too. Yeah. Other concerns? Laura. Laura is lifting up the family of Dick Cotter, an educator. He died suddenly at home, so prayers for all of those who are mourning him, but also prayers of gratitude for all the lives he touched. Thanks, Laura. Marge. Oh, so Marge has been keeping us updated on her niece who was having a surgery for a brain tumor. The surgery went okay. She's been dancing and not passing out. But just as good. She's coming to school on the East Coast, so Marge will be able to, like, lay eyes and hands on this beautiful person. Thanks, Marge. Gail, do you have any joys up there I've missed? Concerns. I have concerns. Do you have any concerns? Okay, sorry. I have concerns. Jen, Donald, and Addie have brought some concerns for us today. First of all, Addie had strep and flu this past week. Again, little kids trying to deal with all this. They're also mourning the loss of Jen's mom's cousin Karen in Germany, who died of pancreatic cancer. This is the third death for this family in a short time, and we know this feels cumulative, so we're holding them in our prayers. They've also asked us to pray for friends of theirs who are dealing with a pregnancy loss at 27 weeks. So prayers for that family, for all that they are dealing with, sort of physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We hold them in our prayers. Other concerns I've missed. Beloved, it's time to come to the table, to come to this place where we share the bread of life with each other. There is room for everyone here. More than that, everyone is needed here. It takes all of us to create a feast that can bring new life to the world. But what else do we need at the table? Can we make room for worry beside us, the thoughts keeping us awake at night? Can we let grief take up space here rather than pretend it doesn't exist? Can we even welcome anger at the table, knowing there are good reasons to be angry? Can we welcome it all to the table so we can bear it together with God? After all, that's what Jesus did when he gathered with friends in an upper room. He didn't put on a fake smile and a stiff upper lip. He made room for their fear and his own. He didn't pretend all was well. He named the betrayal to come. He didn't deny the pain. He told them death was on its way. But then he reminded them of the good news. We are bound together by God's love, just as the grain is held by the loaf and the grape by the cup. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Will you join me in blessing this bread and cup with your blessing hands? Let us pray. Living God, close to us as breathing and distant as the farthest star, we thank you for your constant love for all you have made. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all gathered here and at home, that we might be your light in the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that we might be infused with the gift of your nourishing guidance. Transform us with your grace, even as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup. Inspire us to be your presence in the world, even as we are healed and held by your great love. By your Spirit, make us one with the holy, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world until all know wholeness and justice and peace, as we seek to follow the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God.
Thank you.
Sharing the bread.
Reminder of God's presence, we become the hands and feet of God. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Please join me in prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Check out the calendar for the Altadena Community Church in Altadena, California. You notice two things at once: all the services they provide to the community, and how those services have, for the moment, disappeared. Altadena Community Church is the UCC church destroyed in the Eaton Fire, along with the Jewish Center and the Episcopal Church across the street. Like so many community spaces, homes, businesses, and lives lost in the recent California wildfires. After worship today, we'll gather in the vestry and online for a very typical annual meeting, reflecting on the year just passed and planning for the year ahead. But in the midst of motions and votes, we will not forget the losses so many other communities are facing. And so our communion fund collection today will go to the United Church of Christ California Wildfires 2025 appeal, along with a $500 contribution from the outreach budget at FCC Natick. Gifts will support both immediate needs and long-term recovery efforts. Folks in person, you're invited to use the special offering envelopes in your pews. Checks and online donations with fire in the memo line will also be directed to this offering. As we pass the plate from one to another, or at home, cup our hands together. May it be as if we are holding those who have lost so much.
Thank you.
Hear these words by UCC Associate General Minister Reverend Sherry Presteman, an excerpt from A Prayer for Those in the Path of Fire. Steadfast God, in the uncertain days to come, draw near to all who weep and rage as they begin to sift through the rubble and ash left behind. Stir bits of hope amid despair. Lend strength when exhaustion overtakes them. May they be wrapped in a blanket of grace and healing, woven by each act of compassion and generosity we now extend. O God, in your wide and tender mercy, hear our fervent prayers. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Strong, Gentle Children, number 396. Please be seated. Beloved, nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. Those who seek God shall never go wanting. Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. God alone fills us. Go in peace. Amen.